ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरि बोल। So today we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text number 12. Tatshadana munayo Jnana vairagya yuktayam Pashyanti atmani chatmanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihityam. Please chant. Tatshadana munayo Jnana vairagya yuktaya Pashyanti atmani chatmanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya Tatshadana munayo Okay. Tat that Shradhanam seriously inquisitive Munayam sages Jnanam knowledge Vairagyam detachment Yuktayam well equipped. Thank you. I missed that word. Pashyanti. See. Atmani. Within himself. Cham. And. Atmanam. The Paramatma. Bhaktya. In devotional service. Shrutam. Divedas. Grihitayam. Well received. Translation and purport by His Holiness Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. Purport. The absolute truth is realized in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord, Vasudev, or the personality of Godhead who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence, and Paramatma is his partial representation. As such, Brahman or Paramatma realization of the absolute truth is but a partial realization. There are four different types of human beings: the karmis, the gyanis, the yogis, and the devotees. The karmis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. The first class transcendentalists are the devotees who have realized the Supreme Person. The second class transcendentalists are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the Absolute Person. And the third class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized spiritual focus of the Absolute Person. As stated in Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. We have already discussed that the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realizations of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, the paths of Jnana and Yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge combined with detachment from material association, and which is fixed by the oral reception of the Vedanta Shruti, is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the Absolute Truth. Devotional service is not therefore meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. There are three classes of devotees, namely first class, second, and third class. The third class devotee, or the neophytes, who have no knowledge and are not detached from material association, but who are simply attracted by the preliminary process of worshipping deity in the temple, are called material devotees. Material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional position. In the second class position, the devotee can see four principles in the devotional line, namely the personality of Godhead, his devotees, the ignorant, and the envious. One has to rise himself at least to the stage of a second class devotee and thus become eligible to know the Absolute Truth. A third class devotee, therefore, has to receive the instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavat. The number one Bhagavata is the established personality of devotee, and the other Bhagavatam is the message of Godhead. The third class devotee, therefore, has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. Such a personality of devotee is not a professional man who earns his livelihood by the business of Bhagavatam. Such a devotee must be a representative of Shukadeva Goswami, like Suta Goswami, and must preach the cult of devotional service for the all-around benefit of all people. A neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. Such neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing, so one should be very careful about the faulty process. The holy message of Godhead as inculcated in Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavatam are undoubtedly transcendental subjects, but even though they are so, such transcendental matters are not to be received from the professional man who spoils them as the serpent spoils the milk by the touch of his tongue. A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Vedanta, and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless and therefore a sort of disturbance in the path of devotional service. Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, or Pancharatra authorities, the make show of devotional service should at once be rejected. An authorized devotee should never be recognized as pure devotee. By assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures, one can see the all-pervading localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly. This is called samadhi. Tachradadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shuta grihitayam. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes the absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyayavacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, being the last day of Kartik, and if you're going to miss Kartik, raise your hand if you do. So, I'm sure you all agree how sweet and how nectarian this pastime of Radha Damodar is. And we can see specifically during this month that mercy is flowing. I was just sitting and observing, and it's such a beautiful exchange to see the devotion of other Vaishnavas, which is actually contagious. So just by being present in this assembly, we all are actually benefiting. And that is all due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So before we start discussing the verse that we have today, I kind of wanted to reflect on a couple of verses that were previously mentioned. And specifically in the first chapter, we find the sages in Naimisharanya. They're saying, basically, it's said, knowing well the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear in great length the transcendental message of Godhead. And then they say, we think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as the captain on the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali. So I kind of like that metaphor that they're using. They're basically seeing that as a great fortune that they have met Suta Goswami, and they are addressing him as the captain on the ship that will take them across the ocean, difficult ocean in the age of Kali. So similarly, we are also very fortunate. We should at least see that way, that by the grace of the Lord, we have come in touch with this wonderful moment of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada is our spiritual captain. that is basically taking us through this difficult age of Kali. And then the sages are saying, actually Suta Goswami is replying, he's saying, your questions are wonderful. And why they're wonderful? Because they're for the benefit of all the world. And then he's saying something really, really important, which we kind of been discussing in the last, I would say, 7 days. Basically, it's saying the supreme occupation for the humanity is that by which one can attain to the loving devotional service of the Lord. So, if you think about it, he's not saying the supreme occupation is this, 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 and that. No, he's kind of like keeping it open. It's actually anything that will bring us closer to the Lord. Anything that will spark that dormant love for Krishna that is being covered for many, many lifetimes in our hearts. So, very, very important verses. And like I mentioned, we've been hearing a lot about that word Dharma lately, thanks to Prana Govinda Prabhu and other exalted devotees. We heard many examples. And why is that so prominent in our culture? And we can find so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. Last week, when Madhumati was talking about conversation between Vishnu Dutas and Yama Dutas, I was kind of picturing in my head, like, just imagine the scene, like, here the person is dying, and these personalities, they are discussing what is the right action, what is the right dharma. Similarly, you have another example, Indradev and Vritrasura. You know, they're fighting. It's not like, you know, they're just, you know, casually sitting in the park and talking. No, they're fighting for their lives. It's a serious battle. And you find, like, Vritrasura at one point, his arm is cut off. And even at that point, he's actually urging Indradev, keep on, keep fighting. It is for the, actually, my benefit and your benefit. And, you know, he explains that, you know, he's going to go back to Godhead after his life. But it's really amazing when you consider these particular situations that people are, these great personalities, they're constantly reflecting what is the right activity for the human form of life. Similarly, we find Bhishmadev. I think Shesha Prabhu was mentioning, like, in that assembly where Draupadi was insulted, the question was raised, what is the proper dharma? Is dharma even present in this assembly? And as we know, just due to that offense to Draupadi, who is chaste lady, and not only that, but great, great devotee of the Lord, all the Kuru dynasty was destroyed. How many people died? 640 million. So just imagine, due to the offense to Draupadi, because they touched her hair, and she's extremely, extremely exalted Vaishnavi, all the Kuru dynasty was wiped out. Very serious. So never offend any chaste woman or any Vaishnava by any means. So, and today we have also very, very important verse. And the words that are used in this verse, it says, Shradana, and then it says Munaya. And what it means? Seriously inquisitive sage or student. And we are all here students. You know, in the presence of our Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus, we are always students. You know, don't think if you're just like, you know, 10-year-old, you're a student. No, even when you are 30 and 50 and 60, in the assembly of senior devotees, we are always humble students. So it says here, the seriously inquisitive student or sage, well-equipped, you know, what it means well-equipped, you know, you have something in your possession, with knowledge and detachment, realizes the absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard. Again, the process of hearing is stressed here from the Vedanta Shruti. So then Prabhupada goes on explaining basically that the process of hearing is not simply, it's not like a sentimental process. Sometimes less intelligent people accuse devotees, oh, you people are just chanting and, you know, chanting and dancing and you don't discuss, you know, Vedanta. And we find very similar, same complaint was raised when Lord Chaitanya was present. As we know, when Krishna descended, basically it's described that his qualities are storehouse of love of Godhead. But when he was present on the planet, it was sealed, so nobody could access that. But when Panchatattva descended to this planet, basically it's described that they broke the seal and they opened that storehouse of love of Godhead and they plundered it. Like a thieves. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, Advaita Prabhu and all the associates of Mahaprabhu, they distributed that love of God to all the living beings in the world. It was the mission of Sri Chaitanya to save all the fallen souls. And we find that he was very successful, but certain kind of people escaped. And specifically, it's mentioned that Mayavadi followers of Shankaracharya, they were avoiding Lord Chaitanya. And not only that, they were very blasphemous. They were criticizing him. They were saying, this sannyasi, he should be studying Vedanta. But meanwhile, he's like a, you know, sentimental, you know, just, you know, ordinary man, you know, mingling with ordinary people and chanting like, what is this? So they were very, very critical. So initially, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just ignored them. And on the way to the Vrindavan, he actually stopped in Varanasi. But he was avoiding them specifically for that purpose. But on the way back, he actually made a point to deal with that matter. And he wanted to actually give them mercy. So while he was staying in the house of Tapana Mishra, basically he stayed there and he was instructing, as we know, Sanatana Goswami for 2 months. These sannyasi, Mayavadi sannyasi, they're very, very offensive. And his devotees, Chandrasekhar and Tapana Mishra, they came to the Lord and said, my dear Lord, we cannot tolerate this anymore. These rascals, they're criticizing you and they're offensive and they're making parades. You know, we should either die or we cannot tolerate this anymore. And Lord Chaitanya, he was just, you know, smiling. And at that moment, one Brahmana arrived and he said, my dear Lord, I have invited all the sannyasis in this town to lunch, and I know you don't mingle with these, you know, other sannyasis, but still, please, please come to my house, you know, for the prasad, and please bless me with your association. And we understand that is the, you know, all plan of, you know, Lord, inconceivable plan. As we discussed last night, nobody can understand what Krishna's plans are. Very mysterious. So Lord Chaitanya, he just smiled and said, yeah, sure, I'll come. And meanwhile, in that assembly, there was a great, great philosopher, you know, of that time, like you can call him like a champion, Prakashananda Saraswati. You know, if you would say like, you know, number one in the country who defeated all the other scholars. But when he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also invited, he got a little bit nervous, you know. And he heard that, you know, Mahaprabhu somehow converted his good friend, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he was thinking, like, who is this Chaitanya, you know, sentimental sannyasi? He should be studying Vedanta. But he's just dancing, you know, and chanting, like, what is this? He must have used some kind of magic to convert Sarvabhauma, but he's not going to conquer me. I'm the great scholar. I'm going to chant mantras, you know, worship, you know, Shankara, and I'll defeat him. So he was kind of like thinking like that, but at the same time, he was just, you know, feeling very, very nervous in the heart. So when the day arrived, basically all these sannyasis headed by Prakashananda Saraswati were seated there. And all of a sudden, they saw beautiful Gauranga Mahaprabhu coming. And they kind of were amazed by his bodily beauty. And as Mahaprabhu approached them, and basically he went to the place where they were, the arrangement was for the sannyasis to wash their feet. And he washed his feet, and then he just sat there. He humbly sat there. He didn't move. And all these sannyasis, they were kind of assembled on the higher platform. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his humility, he was just sitting there. And he manifested, you know, due to his mystic power, basically the effulgence equal to the millions of moons. So when all the sannyasis, they saw him, their mind was so captured, and they were wondering, who is this personality? Like, they were just like, they couldn't make any logical sense, like, you know, who is this sannyasi? Like, you know, it seems like he's just like, you know, one of us, but, you know, his bodily beauty and his effulgence is so beautiful that we are bewildered. So upon seeing that Prakashananda Saraswati, he jumped and he grabbed the, you know, hand of the Mahaprabhu, and he said, please come sit with us. And Mahaprabhu said, I'm not qualified to mingle with you. You know, you are all exalted personality, but, you know, I'm just, you know, ordinary. I'm kind of like a sannyasi of the lower grade. And Prakashananda Saraswati, he insisted, so he kind of brought them into the midst of the other sannyasis. And then he inquired and he said, my dear Swami, please tell me why you don't associate with us. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something really, really important. And he said, my dear sir, my spiritual master considered me fool, and he just told me to chant holy names of Lord, and that's what I've been doing. And since he gave me that mantra, I've been chanting constantly, and I can't control it. I just want to chant and dance, and that's, you know. Please don't misunderstand me, but you know, out of the power of the mantra, I cannot stop chanting and dancing. So he goes on to explain the glories of the holy name, and basically that very important verse is there: Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalavanasti, Evanasti, Evanasti, Gatir Natam. That there is no other means in this age of Kali other than the holy name. So I'm going to conclude here, since we are running out of time. There's a lot to be said. But interestingly, in this same chapter, which is, if you read Adi Lila, chapter 7, then in the text number 102, the exact same verse that we are reading today, this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, is quoted. And basically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on further to explain to the Mayavadi sannyasis that the process of bhakti yoga actually already includes all the injunctions of the Vedic literatures. So they are already within the process of bhakti. So it's not like, you know, devotees are just chanting and dancing without studying the scripture, but it is all part of the process of bhakti yoga. So anyhow, I'll stop here. Thank you so much for your attention. If anybody would like to comment or any reflection, comments, questions, please do so. Yes, Prana Govinda.
I remember Srila Prabhupada said that
Mahaprabhu would not actually deal with him until he extended to take him out from the foot washing place. His devotional service began. He extended his hand to help Mahaprabhu to come out from there. And Prabhupada highlighted that. He says, that began his devotional service. Then Mahaprabhu decided, okay, I will give him darshan. And otherwise, so devotional service is the key. The saddha dhana munaya. Also, another thing I thought of this sloka, this is so important. The Prabhupada says, when one comes to read scriptures and think that my guru wants me to read this, then it is bhakti. But if no authority, just doing on his own, studying Veda, that is gyan, is not a bhakti. He will not understand, realize God. There's a big difference. You can study the same scripture, but there has to be under guidance. And in that same lecture, Prabhupada said, you want to understand, stand under.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, blessing of spiritual master is the shakti behind success. Anybody else would like to say anything? If not, we will stop here. Thank you all so much. Garantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Radha Damodar ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.